I don't know if there's such a thing as a really good cancer, but osteosarcoma, bone cancer, it doesn't sound like much fun. Can you tell us about your experiences?
Yeah, so osteosarcoma is quite a rare cancer. It, you know, strikes a very, very minor population of young people. But I have heard it colloquially termed the tragic cancer by many doctors because it tends to strike at young people just as they're exiting high school or elderly people, which obviously are both very tragic ages to be stricken with cancer. But even then, it's a very rare form and it usually occurs in the knee as far as I'm aware. It can very easily go undetected and so it can develop into something much nastier. But I was very fortunate. It was detected early and I had some amazing doctors and surgeons, and they did a very, very good job on me.
How does it first come around in terms of noticing symptoms, noticing that this is this is something that's going to cause you problems?
Well, for me it was pain. I was just doing the dishwasher one day, I remember, and I pulled out a plate and all of a sudden it felt like my shoulder had just shattered into a million pieces. It was a very nasty feeling, and obviously it was the tumor inside of it being aggravated by some sort of movement. I'm not really sure. I couldn't go into the medical terminology of that, but that was the biggest hint for me. And then the pain only progressed from there. You know, it got worse and worse. And eventually there were, you know, cold sweats, fevers, that sort of thing. It was very nasty. But they picked up at, you know, Westmead Hospital that there was a cancer in me. And then they transferred me to the Chris O'Brien Lifehouse, which was a cancer specialist research hospital and treatment center. So I went there, and they did an excellent job in identifying it and all of that. So I got very lucky. But, you know, I wouldn't call osteosarcoma a good cancer, but I would say it was a good experience for me.
The best it could possibly be.
Yeah,
put it that way.
Yeah, it came out... the best it could.
I understand you had to have your shoulder replaced with a titanium rod.
Yes, I did.
Wow, yeah. That must be exciting.
Yes, so usually when these are replaced, you know, they use metal prosthetics, and usually they're made of something like titanium, something that preferably isn't going to be magnetic and mess with MRIs and such. So my shoulder, from essentially my elbow up to my collarbone, is just a titanium rod and a little drill bit socketing into my collarbone. It's pretty interesting to see the x-rays of them, and also very off-putting, but it allows for a very limited range of movements and actions in most people, and the doctors are still trying to work out how it is that I have a bit more than that, how I'm able to act like a fully functional person, almost.
You've obviously got a very positive viewpoint on this one, the best experience you could have possibly had with this this one. But I've got to think, 17 years old, you're obviously a guy of lofty ambitions as well. You were somebody who wanted to get in and study, wanted to get on and do these great things. How was it handling that when you had to sort of be in and out of hospital?
Oh, that's quite a funny story, actually, that you've touched on. So, look, I've always been very academic, and I was very happy that I started school early because it meant I could finish my degree a year earlier than most people would. I always saw it as that, and so I was not very happy that cancer was going to throw a year, you know, into the works. And it was actually one of the most difficult things to overcome for me. For most people, it's, you know, obviously much more psychological aspects, losing their hair or, you know, going pale, things like that. They can really bring someone down, or just the idea that you might not be able to do something that you've always wanted to do, like a sport. But in my case, it was certainly the academics, and I tried to prevail with them throughout my treatment. I think I got up to the biopsy, where they identified exactly what sort it was, and I was doing quite well. I was running a HD at the time in all of my subjects, but they said, look, you know, once we start proper treatment, that's not going to continue, and you need to get out before the census date. So it ended up in quite the argument, and I ended up unenrolling exactly on the census date it would have been. So I was a stubborn little bugger.
clearly. The grant from Redkite and Coles, how's that helped you get sort of back on track?
Yeah, look, that has actually been really, really helpful, and I wasn't expecting to win it. But the Coles Redkite Dare to Dream Scholarship is, you know, amazing. It's something that was brought to my attention by someone who worked for Redkite. And they essentially told me, look, you might want to try this out. You seem like the kind of person who's, you know, obviously good at writing if you want to be an author, and you're evidently very passionate about everything and you have a positive attitude. Go for it. So I checked it out, and I saw the grand prize was $5,000, and there were a couple of runner-ups, I believe three, for $2,000. And now, you would not think that when an adolescent male got $2,000 from something he wasn't expecting to win, that the first thing he'd think was, I'm going to buy a new mattress. But that was the first thing I thought, because the fact is, you know, with cancer, it just cripples you financially. You can imagine the parking tickets for family members and such, and the whole family's affected. It's a ripple effect. And I think that there are many, many families out there who are in one of two situations, who are lucky enough to have the finances to be able to cope with that, and those who are unfortunate and who do not have the finances to cope with it. And if you don't have the finances to cope with it, it means giving up what other people take as necessities of life. I mean, you know, if it wasn't for friends and family, and old school teachers, surprisingly, we would have gone without dinners. We would have gone entire days without food. Our mattresses are all, you know, they were all old and full of springs and holes, and our beds were falling apart. The house we lived in was falling apart. We had to give up a lot to keep me going, because my mother made it her primary goal to be with me as much as possible, and I really appreciated that. And yes, so she spent a fortune on parking tickets, and unfortunately she was the sole provider for three children. So obviously spending 24/7 with me, she wasn't working, we weren't generating income aside from Centrelink, and unfortunately Centrelink doesn't actually recognize cancer as being something that should be, you know, paid for, which I've got my own views on.
And if we hear the name Lachlan Seipel in future, I understand you'd want it to be associated with something very, very different than this cancer business. You're into writing fantasy fiction. When are we going to see your name sort of splashed across some doorstoppers?
Well, look, hopefully soon. I would like to say that. But obviously, I'm only 19 right now, and I appreciate that I've got a lot to learn about writing. I'm very fortunate in that my mum's a writer, and also has many, many contacts, some of whom have been nominated for the Aurealis Awards in the past. And so they're very big, and they've been very, very helpful in aiding my own work and giving me very constructive criticism, which I've always appreciated. I think it's a little hard at first for people to give me constructive criticism because of my youth. A lot of youths would obviously react negatively to that. But I've always seen it as a building block and a tool. You know, if I've done a really horrible job, then I've done a horrible job. End of story. Teach me how to do better. That's how I've seen it. But I understand a lot of people take it personally. So hopefully soon. Hopefully, I'm hoping to get some short stories out there. There's a novel that I actually have a publisher looking at the moment, but I don't think it's going to be a doorstopper. I did write it while on chemotherapy, but that one is speculative fiction.
Tremendous. Lachlan, thanks very much, mate. Thanks for joining us.
No problem. Thank you for your time.